Good morning and welcome to Sharpening Our Souls, the ministry of Old River Baptist Church with Senior Pastor Danny Binney. We're excited that you're joining us this morning, and we would love it if you could come and be a part of our morning worship and Bible study at the church on Old River. To find out our service times, you can visit us on the web at www.oldriverbaptist.com, or you can call our church office at 281-576-6030. Let's join our pastor this morning as he delivers our sermon from the Word of God.
Good morning. I invite you to open your Bibles with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. While you're finding that, I want to share with you that on the fourth Sunday of this month, the 28th of August, we are going to remember and celebrate that our Lord Jesus is risen from the grave. And it's not that we're trying to do two Easter services, but we want to remember that He is risen. As a matter of fact, the theme of that day is, have you heard? He is risen. And we want to invite you to invite your neighbors, invite your friends, get with people on your social media connections, every way that you can. Go out and knock on doors and let folks know that we are celebrating the resurrection of our Lord. And it may very well be that there's some people that don't like to come to Easter because the crowds are so big, and you just may be able to get them here on that day. So on Sunday the 28th, and we have a special guest coming in that day. His name is Jay Louder. Jay has been with us before on numerous occasions, and always the response has been tremendous. Jay is an internationally known evangelist. Jay, you may catch him on TV or the radio quite often. He has a television show, and you may be someone that tunes in to him frequently. But Jay has been with us, and we love having Jay, and he will be here on that Sunday, the 28th, and I invite you to join me in inviting everyone you can. Now, we also are entering that time of year where people are getting back from vacations, schedules are getting back to a little bit, getting back to normal, and so our attendance always picks up as we get on into August. And so I need your help. We have had one of the best attendances in summertime services that we've ever had. And so if that's any indication of what things are going to be like and could be like whenever school time rolls around, then we are going to need your help. Have you ever gone to buy something and the parking lot was full? And you thought, I don't have to have that today. I'll come back whenever I don't have to stand in line. Have you ever gone out to eat? And when you got there, the parking lot was full and you knew there was going to be a line. And you didn't want to have to hunt for a place to park. And so you left and went somewhere else. We have watched that happen to our parking lot on Sunday mornings. And so I want to ask you, would you park in the back? Would you who get here, now, if you get here for the late service and that's all you've come to and there's still some parking spaces, well, go ahead and practice parking in the back. And you can let your family off in the front and you can park in the back, guys. And by the way, if you drive a pickup, would you park on the grass? And you may be thinking, Brother Danny, my wife doesn't want to have to get out in the grass and her feet get wet and get grass all over it. Drop them off at the front, guys. Drop them off by the door. You know, chivalry is still alive here. Some of you haven't got a clue what that word means, do you? Go look. As they used to say, the English teachers used to say, go look it up. If you don't know how to spell it, well, that's your problem. Anyway. But help us out. We really need your help to fill up the parking lots in the back and on the sides so that when people come, and people come for the first time, and this is the time of year when most people will check out a new place of worship. We have so many people who have moved into our area, and so we've got to make room for them. And so I want to ask you to just pull around back and walk in one of these other doors. We need your help. As attendance is going to pick up, and we can go ahead and start practicing for the 28th whenever we have that big day. Thank you very much. A few centuries ago, Reverend Unkin had much of Germany in distress. There were people that did not like this Baptist preacher and his preaching of this gospel of Jesus Christ. And so he was threatened with fines and threatened with imprisonment. And one day he was called before the court. And in that country, they had a court system where there were several judges that sat on it. And the head magistrate pointed his finger at Reverend Unkin and he said, "You see this finger? As long as this finger can move, it will move against you and will put you down." Reverend Unkin, standing by himself, looked at that magistrate and he said, "Sir, I see that finger, but I also see an arm that you do not see. And as long as that arm is out there, it will prevent you from keeping the gospel from being preached, and I will continue to preach it as long as that arm of the Lord is there." When it's time to stand, will you run? When there's no one left but you, what will you do? With school starting back, and you have perhaps made a decision that you're not going to do some of the things and involve yourself in some of the things that you were involved in. And you've made a decision, there's some things new that will honor God, being involved in some of the Christian organizations that are on campus. Whether you're going back to college, you're going back to high school, elementary, middle school, whatever it is. If you're going back to your homeschool study groups, whatever it may be, would you be determined that if you were the only one that was going to take a stand for Christ, that you will be that one? When you're all alone, when you're left all alone, what will you do? No one left but you. What will you do? The book of Proverbs has a verse of scripture in it that says, "If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small." You hear the phrase, "Everyone's doing it." No, no, everyone doesn't have to be doing whatever it is. And you can be that one that says, "I will stand, and I will stand with the Word of God." Church on Old River. There is a river, the book of Psalms says. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place of the Most High God. Church on Old River, will you be determined that if no other church is going to stand for the righteousness of God and the Word of God, that you will be that one? The Apostle Paul knew what it was like to stand alone. There were many times that he was left all alone. Many times that he would be handcuffed to a soldier. Many times he would be in perilous situations. There was a time he was shipwrecked. And so often he was all by himself, but Paul knew that though he was all by himself, he was never alone. And so he says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, "At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them." What was happening? Hold on just a second there. What was happening there? It was that in this particular time in writing, it was the time in which Rome had been burned. And the Christians were the ones that were being accused and blamed for it. And Paul himself was being accused as perhaps the leader behind it, though other things speak to the contrary. Why would Paul want to burn something that he had worked so hard to get there so that he could share the gospel? And so Paul knew that anyone that stood with him, it would be at the sentence of death. And he understood their fears. And he said, "May it not be charged against them." Verse 17, "But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me, that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen." The Apostle Paul was someone that did not have to have an army behind him to be able to declare the truth that was before him. He was someone who could stand alone. And let me ask you, student, something. Are you someone that can stand alone as you go off on your own, as you go into this new year? Can you stand on your own? Men, can you stand on your own and stand on the Word of God whenever you return to work tomorrow, and for whatever reason you have decided that you're going to follow Jesus today as you've never followed him before, and tomorrow when you go back, you're not going to entertain some of the conversations that you've been a part of in the past. You're not going to tell some of the jokes. You're not going to use some of the language. You're going to be different, and it's going to be obvious, and people are going to make fun of you. Ladies, are you going to take a stand? Parents, are you going to be parents of the book and call a family meeting and say, "Okay, here's the way it is. Here's the way it was, but the Bible says this, and so here's the way that it's going to be. And we're going to start from here and go forward." And if you're the only family on the planet that's going to abide by the Word of God, you're going to be determined that today it's going to be that way. The Apostle Paul was someone who knew what it meant to stand alone. Do you want to stand alone? You want to be someone that God can count on you to stand whenever no one else will stand with you? Notice these things that Paul illustrated for us. And we are starting a 3-week series on this, by the way. So for the next, for this week and two more, we're going to be looking at this until Brother Jay Louder is with us on the 28th. Notice the first thing is stand strong. Stand strong. Now, not just when you feel strong, but when you feel weak. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Proverbs. So, stand strong when you're weak. Now, how do you do that? Just like the Apostle Paul did, whenever he understood that though no one was with him, the Lord stood with him. When everyone else forsakes you, when all your friends say, "I'll stand with you," and then they chicken out and they back out on you and they forsake you, and they even say, "No, I don't. Yeah, we used to run together. We don't do that anymore." When others forsake you, notice that the Lord stood, and the Bible says in verse 17, and the Lord strengthened me. Have you ever been able to accomplish something, a goal in your Christian life, and you think at the moment, how was I able to do that? And you look back on it and you realize it wasn't you that got through that, but it was the Lord that was there with you, carrying you through all the time, and that just makes him that much more real to you. And then there are some times that if it weren't for the grace of God, you and I'd be toast. It would be over. The Lord saved me. The Apostle Paul, no doubt, was put into arenas with wild beasts. And yet, just like in the story of Daniel, where he was thrown in the lion's den, the Lord didn't allow them to harm him. And no doubt, Paul had to deal with not only animals, but he had to deal with human beasts, people who were determined to take him apart. And yet, as he writes here at the end of his life, but the Lord delivered me from every evil work and preserved me for his heavenly kingdom. Stand strong when you're weak. The next thing is, you got to stay focused. You've got to stay with keeping your eye on the Lord and what he put you and me here for. You got to stay focused. Notice what about this guy. Man, he went through so much. There's any one of the things that Paul went through would be enough to run the rest of us off from wanting to serve the Lord. And yet he went through it over and over and over. Now, before he wrote this, and before he had what he went through in Rome, he had gone through other things in his life. He went through a tough time everywhere he went to preach. There were places, and the Bible says that Paul was run out of town, thrown off of cliffs, stoned, left for dead, and yet he survived. And then Paul said, I need to go to Rome, so I've got to go back to Jerusalem. Paul, his friend, said, don't do that. They want to take your life there in Jerusalem. I know what God has told me to do. And so the Bible tells us that Paul went back to Jerusalem. And sure enough, when they found out he was there, because Paul's not going to go somewhere and keep his mouth shut about Jesus. And it wasn't long before word got to the authorities, and here they came and got him and brought him in. And for 2 years, Paul stayed in prison, and he hadn't done anything. But because of the Roman citizenship that came through one of his parents, Paul was able to appeal to Rome. It would kind of be like us appealing to the Supreme Court these days with our case. And good luck at that, by the way. But anyway, it would be like that. And so they couldn't take his life, but they didn't know what to do with it. And so one day, this make-believe king, is kind of how you might look at this king that came to town. It was a king that the Roman government allowed the Jews to have, but he didn't have any power. It was just something to try to keep peace in the neighborhood with. So anyway, he came to town, and the governor, who was appointed by Rome, thought, how am I going to entertain this guy? I need to do something to entertain him. I know what I'll do. I'll bring Paul in here, and I'll let this king give us his opinion on what we ought to do. So there they are in the governor's palace, and the puppet king is there, and they bring Paul in, and he's in chains. And they unchain him, and they say, Paul, we're going to let you plead your case. And do you know what that old fella did? You know what that prisoner did? And I love how the old King James says, Acts 26, verse 2. The Bible says, Paul raised his hands to heaven. He looked at the people and he said, I think myself happy. I think myself happy. I preached a whole sermon on that phrase one Wednesday night. And it wasn't a couple Wednesday nights ago. It was a long time ago whenever I preached that sermon. But just a couple Wednesday nights ago, I was talking with one of our members. I just went up to him. I said, hello, Larry, how you doing? He said, I think myself happy. Now, repeat those words with me. I think myself happy. Now, whenever you are needing to stand alone, you have to stand all by yourself. You remember that old preacher who was pulled out of prison and he went in there before all the bigwigs and he looked at them and he said, I think myself happy. And you know what? You just give your thoughts to the Lord and you keep yourself focused. The Apostle Paul stayed focused because he knew his mission in life. You know what his mission in life was? Same as every believer's mission in life is. His mission in life was the message of Jesus Christ. You see it in Scripture? You see it there in verse 17? About the message that he was to preach fully and completely and finish the job. Your job is the message. And you know what? You may not be called to preach and stand behind a pulpit in a church, but I want to share with you that everyone in here, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and by the way, God would that all men be saved, so don't excuse yourself out of that. God loves you, and he wants you to come to him and know his wonderful grace. That's why he allowed you to come here today. That's why you're here today. He said, no, Brother Danny, I made up my mind I was going to come. Well, you might have made up your mind that you were going to come, but I want to tell you something. If God hadn't wanted you here, you wouldn't have made it. You wouldn't have made it. As a matter of fact, if God would have said, no, that's your last breath, it would have been your last breath, and your time would have been up. God allowed you to come here today so that you could be allowed to make a decision for him. And so, the Bible tells us that Paul understood his mission, and you need to understand your mission, that you may not have a pulpit like this, but everyone has a platform for presenting the gospel in your schools, in your communities, in your clubs that you are members of, in your organizations that you're part of, and everywhere that you go. You have a mission. What is that mission? The message of Jesus Christ. It's just that simple. The good news of Jesus. That's your message. And where do you give that message? You give it wherever, to whomever, whenever, forever. People keep asking me, and they ask Dana, well, what are y'all going to do? What's Brother Danny going to do when you retire in January? Here's my answer. That is to share the message, the good news of Jesus, wherever, to whomever, whenever, forever. Some of you may be thinking, well, that's not a good enough answer. Well, that's your problem. Good enough for me. I like it. And I don't know what all God's got, but I'm happy with that because that is what I intend to do. This last week, I had the opportunity to go to the, a couple of times, to the Texans training camp. And I got to stand right there on the sidelines, stand right behind the players. You weren't supposed to talk to the players, but no, they talk to you sometimes. And while I was there, I met people in the organization. I met other people who were also there visiting, and I handed out coins. Everybody I had the opportunity to. President of the organization has one of our coins. Players have some of our coins. Well, as a matter of fact, one of our players, some of y'all have seen my belt buckle that I had for nearly 40 years. I've got two of them that kind of look alike now, and they have the symbol of the fish on it. And one of the players stopped me and said, I like that belt buckle. I thought, well, you can't have it. He was a big old boy. But anyway, no. No, he would just say, I said, oh, really? He said, yeah, I really like that buckle. I said, well, if you like that, I said, you'll like this. And I pulled out one of our coins. And I handed it to him. And he took it. And of course, you know, I always hand it to them with the church side up, but they're going to turn it over. And on the back of that coin, it says, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he looked back at me and he said, you're right, I do like that. He said, I'm going to carry that. I'm going to carry that. Now, people are always asking me for a coin. And now, children, don't just let your kids run up here and grab another coin if they have a coin. But here it is. And one of you need a coin, you don't have one, come get that after the service. The Apostle Paul stayed focused. And he was someone, and I want to be like that. That wherever, to whomever, whenever, forever. If I'm the only one standing, a church, if you are the only one standing, you be determined because you will never be alone. God will stand with you. Stay focused when you're weary, when your strength fails you. Stand strong when you're weak, when others forsake you. But there's one more thing I want to share with you that Paul would say to you, the Holy Spirit would say to you and me right now, and that is start now. Start now. So many times, so many come into this room on a Sunday morning, and perhaps you've been here Sunday after Sunday, and you keep saying, well, one of these days, start now if you want to win. Start now if you want to win. And the devil will be whispering in your ear, forget it, forget it. But you start now. You start now that you are going to be living by the book and you're going to stand on the Word of God. Let's see here. I was about this far from the end zone on Tuesday morning, there at the practice field. And Osweiler, their new quarterback, backed up. Defense is coming at him. Of course, you know, you can't touch the quarterback in practice. But anyway, just about the time they got to him, he launched it down the field. And I'm standing right there at the end zone. And DeAndre Hopkins goes up and makes one of his patented, beautiful turn, got away from the defender, went up with those big old hands he had, caught, came down with it. And, oh, everybody got so excited. And it was just practice. Just practice. You know what this is this morning? This is practice. This is practice. So that when we leave out of here and we get in the real game, we'll know what to do. No matter how many are against you, no matter what the odds are. And so I invite you to start now. Start now. Being determined that you're going to win.
Once again, we'd like to thank you for joining us for Sharpening Our Souls, the ministry of Old River Baptist Church. If you'd like to contact this ministry, you can do so by visiting www.oldriverbaptist.com or you can call the office at 281-576-6030. Our mailing address is 12948 FM 1409, Dayton, Texas, 77535. Thank you for joining us. We look forward to seeing you next week for another edition of Sharpening Our Souls.